This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up! It is Wake Up Call. Glad you can be with us here on a Wednesday. And not only just any Wednesday, it is April Fool's Day. But as I said earlier, there are no radio pranks here today. I think we're all kind of in the middle of one. But nevertheless, this is the 35th anniversary of one of the greatest April Fool's pranks in the history of anything. It is the 35th anniversary of the Sid Finch Sports Illustrated hoax that made readers go insane back in 1985 when George Plimpton wrote an article about a pitcher who could throw over 160 miles per hour. Now, look. I grew up, and it's the latest news on Sports Illustrated has kind of made me sad. They're going through some recent layoffs, and the magazine is not what it used to be. And I remember Sports Illustrated being pretty much it was like the Bible of sports coverage, right? It was, you'd watch the games, but it really never felt like you got the full story until your Sports Illustrated came like on Thursday or Friday of that week, because they sort of gave you the definitive view of what you watched over the major events of sports that past weekend. And some of the best writers were in the magazine, and my father got the magazine, and I remember I used to take it, and I used to read it cover for cover, and then he would take it on trips, and I collected the covers. I mean, it was my favorite. Every week was my favorite magazine. It's how I absorbed all the sports information as a young kid. And back in 1985, I read this incredible story about this pitcher who could throw 169 miles per hour, who wore this one heavy boot, and he was being scouted by the Mets. And it was this incredible story that had actual pictures, but in the end ended up being an April Fool's joke. And it was written by George Plimpton, who I always liked, because I was probably one of like three kids in my high school that checked out Bogeyman and Paper Lion from the library. I don't think anybody else was interested in any of George Plimpton's books from my high school library except me and maybe like a couple of older kids that have been taken out before. But Plimpton pulled off, again, a really, really fantastic hoax. We'll talk about how he did it. We'll revisit the curious case of Sid Finch because, again, it's one of the greatest April Fool's jokes in all of sports, and it's 35 years ago. And I still think it's fun, and it still puts a smile on my face. We'll talk about that coming up next. It's Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, glad you could join us here on Wake Up Call. It is April Fool's Day. It is the 35th anniversary of the curious case of Sid Finch, the article appearing in Sports Illustrated. I do this every single April Fool's Day because, one, I think it's a great, I thought it was a great prank. Two, I just like honoring George Plimpton. He was a great writer. I enjoyed his books when I was young. I was probably a teenager when I came across Paper Lion and Bogeyman. I enjoyed his writing. I enjoyed this article, and it always put a smile on my face. So it's more personal than anything. And I think for those people who are around in 85 who remember getting the article and remember the hubbub that that occurred when people realized it was a joke and it was a prank, I think it's really cool. People really believe this story because it was written, and this is one of the reasons I do this every year on April Fool's Day, because it's the art of writing. It's it's one of the things that made Sports Illustrated so good was the title of the magazine was Sports Illustrated. The photographs were great. I mean, the photographs were pictures you could not get anywhere else. I mean, they were guys on the field shooting at great angles, giving you pictures of the athleticism of the sporting events. But the writing was second to none. I mean, it was the best writers in the country that were working for the magazine, writing brilliantly and really putting the context. It wasn't a AP style way of telling you who won the Masters. It was a story within the story of the story who won the Masters. And Plimpton was a master at it. And the way he crafted this story was believable on every level. He knew exactly what a sports fan would expect from a story if it was true. If the Mets had a pitcher that was quirky, wore a hiking boot, played the French horn, studied Buddhism, lived in Tibet, learned the art of throwing a baseball 168 miles an hour, this is exactly how it would play out in real life if there really was a person. He wrote it in a way that made it believable. I'll give you the first paragraph just to give you an idea of the story. The secret cannot be kept much longer. Questions are being asked, and sooner or later, the New York Mets management will have to produce a statement. It may have started unraveling in St. Petersburg, Florida, 2 weeks ago, on March 14th, to be exact, when Mel Stottemeyer, the Mets pitching coach, walked over to the 40-odd men Met players doing morning calisthenics at the Payson Field complex not far from the Gulf of Mexico, a solitary figure among the pulsation of jumping jacks, and mentioned three Mets to step out of the exercise. All three, all good prospects, were John Christensen, a 24-year-old outfielder, David Cochran, a spare but muscular switch hitting third baseman, and Lenny Dykstra, a swift center fielder, who may be the best leadoff, the Mets leadoff man of the future. Ordering the three to collect their bats and batting helmets, Stottemeyer led the players to the north end of the complex, where a large canvas enclosed had been constructed 2 weeks before. The rumor was that some irrigation machinery was being installed in an underground pit. Standing outside the enclosure, Stottemeyer explained what he wanted. First of all, the coach said, the club's got kind of a delicate situation here, and it would help if you've kept reasonably quiet about it, okay? The three nodded. Stottemeyer said, we've got a young pitcher we're looking at. We want to see what he'll do with a batter standing in the box. We'll do this alphabetically. John, you go in, stand there at the plate, and give the pitcher a target. That is all you have to do. Do you want me to take a cut? Christensen asked. Stottemeyer produced a dry chuckle. You can do anything you want. They have a picture of Ron Reynolds, the catcher, holding his hand in pain because 169 miles an hour is really hard on the hand. They produced a Mets scouting report on this guy. I mean, it was all laid out. The pictures and the images of the players going into the canvas and coming out befuddled about what they saw, not being able to see the pitch whatsoever. The way Plimpton wrote this was believable if you really were naive enough to think somebody could throw it 169 miles an hour. Now, the thing is, for me, I'm a kid. Nobody tells me that that a pitcher can't throw 169 miles an hour. So I'm assuming the Mets now have a pitcher that can make them go 162-0, because one other aspect of it was he figured out a way to throw it that fast without any wear and tear on his body. He could pitch every day. And it was so funny. It was such a great piece. People believed it. They wrote Sports Illustrated. They were really blown away by it. But the way Plimpton weaved this story together, right? He wrote at the end of the article the difficulty that the baseball commissioner at the time would have to deal with. What could he do? This was a serious problem for Major League Baseball. Willie McGee might just get a foul tip. That might be it. He's going to destroy all the records. He's going to create a Mets organization that is never going to lose a game. There's no one that's going to be able to catch up to this fastball. And you've got he presents this dire case for baseball. This is not fair. This guy may not be allowed to play because the competitive balance is going to be so thrown off. And everybody is quoted in this article. All the Mets are in on this, and they're helping him in every way possible, right? They've got an agent. He did it all. He did it all. He weaved the entire story into its feature article in the magazine. Now, if you remember Sports Illustrated, the feature article was like the best part of the magazine when they did the in-depth journalism stuff. Mm-hmm. That's where this was. So this was in the same article, same magazine as, let's see, I think it was when Villanova captured the championship. So you have that little story. And then you've got this huge, long Plimpton art of this fake baseball player. And it's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. And he fooled a lot of people. And it's great because he had pictures of the guy in the hiking boot. And it's kind of neat because it was like Peter Ueberroth was the commissioner at the time. And it was, you have this guy that could he pitch with? Like the questions were, could he pitch with the hiking boot? Would that be allowed? Like, would Major League Baseball change its uniform code so he could pitch with this boot? Or would he have to pitch with cleats? It was that insane. But I remember gobbling this thing up.
Yeah, I remember. I'm looking at some of the quick responses to the article as well.
Yeah,
which are fantastic. I mean, you know, people fell for the prank. You know, readers like you and I are like, oh my God, you know, Mets fans were overjoyed. It's like, oh, what a find.
Right.
Can't believe it. They're still looking for their Sid Finch today. But you know, but I mean, and let's be real. If Sid Finch did actually exist, the Mets would find a way to ruin his career.
Right. So it's very true.
You know, let's just put that out there. But, you know, a couple of ones that I'm liking is a New York sports page editor complained to the Mets public relations director for allowing Sports Illustrated to break the story.
Yeah. That was the other question that kept rising up was, how did George Plimpton get this? Like, nobody else got this. Like, there's guys hanging around this team on an everyday basis.
Two general managers called Peter Ueberroth asking about Finch. The St. Petersburg Times sent a reporter to find Finch. And a radio talk show host claimed he saw Finch pitch.
Ah, see, I know. You know that was going to happen, right?
Yep.
You knew that was going down. So here's the one paragraph that I was talking about how Plimpton sort of put in all these kind of issues. He goes, the presence of Finch in Mets training camp raises a number of interesting questions. Suppose the Mets and Finch himself can assuage and resolve his mental reservations about playing baseball. Suppose he's signed to a contract. Suppose he comes to Shea Stadium on opening season against the St. Louis Cardinals on April 9th. It doesn't matter that he's never taken a fielding drill with his teammates. Presumably, he'll mow down the opposition in a perfect game. Perhaps Willie McGee will get a foul tip. Suppose Johnson discovers that the extraordinary symbolic relationship of mind and matter is indeflatable, and Finch can pitch day after day at this blinding, unhittable speed. What will happen to Dwight Gooden? Will Carter and backup catchers last the entire season? What will Major League Baseball do? What will it do to Major League Baseball as it's known today? Peter Ueberroth, baseball's commissioner, was contacted by SI in his New York office, asked if he had ever heard of this Mets new phenomenon. No, he had not. He had heard some rumors about Mets camp, but nothing specific. Did the name Hayden Sid Finch mean anything to him? Nope. The commissioner was told that the Mets had a kid who could throw the ball over 150 miles an hour, unhittable. Ueberroth took a minute and said, "Roll that by me again." Like, so you can imagine being a Met fan reading this going, wait a minute, this is in Sports Illustrated. This is,
yeah,
this can't
it's gotta be real.
It's gotta be real. But the kicker to the story, this is what makes the story so cool. The kicker to the story is Plimpton wrote, so you have the title of the article, The Curious Case of Sid Finch, and then you have the kind of the paragraph that comes afterwards.
The subhead.
Right. And it's, he's a pitcher, part yogi, part recluse, impressively liberated from our opulent lifestyle. Sid's deciding about yoga and his future in baseball. And if you spell out, if you use the first letters of each of that first part, you get Happy April Fool's Day.
A-fib.
And that's how he did it. Well done. It is. I love it because I think it's something we don't get anymore.
No,
like we don't get that anymore. And it was you know, it's amazing. It's 35 years and sports hasn't really produced anything close. No writers produced anything close. And I still think it's pretty cool.
No, what I also liked about it too is that Sports Illustrated did print a much smaller article in the following issue, announcing Finch's retirement.
Yeah, yeah. And the other kicker funny part, which should have tipped people off, was that he was deciding between baseball and a career in French horn.
Right.
Which of all the instruments, I mean, that's pretty sweet. But he got an actor to play him and everything. It was pretty awesome.
Well, no,
I love that a radio host claimed to have saw him pitch.
Yeah. the guy who's in the photo, he's still alive today.
Yeah.
His name is Joe Burton. He's he was a junior high teacher.
No kidding.
And it was Lane Stewart. He was a Sports Illustrated photographer, recruited his friend, Joe Burton, who was 6'4" and wears a size 14 shoe. And was like a tall, just beanpole. And that's why they've chose him.
Yeah.
Just a tall, lanky guy. If you look at the photo, too, it's a weird pitching style.
Right.
I've never seen a pitcher lean that far back.
Yeah, it really is.
But that put the air of the mystery, like, oh, if you lean that far back, maybe that's why he's pitching 150 miles per hour.
I remember there was a moment in the article that really caught my eye when I was younger, was that Finch found somebody he could show his skill to. They put a beer bottle on a post, stepped away approximately 60 feet, 6 inches, about that. And he goes, the guy said, and the bottle exploded. And it just evaporated. And again, picture, you know, young me going, my father was a Mets fan, going, Dad, this pitcher, it's going to change the Mets forever. George Plimpton, you were the best. Seriously, the best. That's great. You know, his books, Paper Lion and Bogeyman, he did a number of these. He got to participate in these sports. Like, he was in, like, Lions camp, and he got to take a couple of snaps as a quarterback, and he wrote a book about it. Like what was it like to be there? He tried to play on the PGA Tour, like, and he wrote these experiences, and they're great works. I don't know if they're relevant today. I think kind of in a weird way.
Or they translate today?
Yeah, I don't know if they translate. Back in the 80s when I was, you know, checking these out of the library, they were fascinating reads. Fascinating reads. So that's the curious case of Sid Finch on your April Fool's Day. We don't give you April Fool's jokes, but we give you April Fool's history. I guess that's how we roll here. It's Wake Up Call, Tony D and Ron Culver.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Oh, so I saw this story yesterday. I could not wait to get your thoughts on this.
All right.
Because it's Tiger King and sports all rolled into one.
Yes.
Shaquille O'Neal is distancing himself from Joe Exotic.
I saw that.
Did you see that story?
Yeah.
That's great. So in the documentary Tiger King, if you haven't seen it, Shaquille O'Neal is in the documentary because he visited the zoo when the TNT crew were in Oklahoma City. It was for a playoff game or whatever reason, he went to the zoo. He was so excited about the zoo. He was so excited about Joe Exotic, you know, and the character. He brought it up in the broadcast on TNT. Said he got himself two tigers, loves tigers, gave money to the zoo to help take care of the tigers. And of course, this documentary comes out and everybody realized what kind of cuckoo land this place actually was. And Shaquille O'Neal's like, yeah, I know I'm in this and I know I said some good things about it, but I really didn't go as many times as you may think. And actually, I don't really like that guy.
I don't know, Shaq, were you really good friends with Joe Exotic?
Exactly.
Did you contribute to his campaign?
Did you give him money so he ran for governor? Got 19% of the vote, by the way. Is amazing.
A fifth of the vote.
One out of every five people voted for the zookeeper.
God, Oklahoma, we love you.
Love you, man. Love you.
You know who else has kind of a connection to Tiger King?
Who?
Britney Spears.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell me about this because I saw it, but I didn't read the article.
Britney Spears, there's two instances. Whatever. I can't speak today. But there's two moments in her life where she's kind of involved with Tiger King. One was at the 2001 VMAs. She was performing on stage. Doc Antliel was in the background on stage with a tiger.
So she was using a tiger like as a prop?
She was using a tiger as a prop. I'm not sure. I don't know if it was. I actually don't know if it was for a live performance at the VMAs or if it was for a music video. But there was a tiger being used as a prop. You can see Doc standing behind her.
Oh, okay.
Then fast forward a year later, sitting next to her at the 2002 VMAs, and I don't know if she brought her as a guest or as a friend or it just happened to be that way, but she's sitting next to Carole Baskin.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then she, I think it was shortly after that, she went crazy. So, I'm not putting it out there. I'm just saying.
You think Kevin Federline was like, oh, thank God she didn't meet him before. I don't want to get any ideas into Britney's head.
Yeah. Britney, why are you buying extra sardine oil?
Exactly.
Oh, I cook with it now.
Can you imagine being the like flavors handlers the for these stars where you're like, okay, so you need a we need a tiger and we need somebody who has a tiger and can take care of the tiger and, you know, can help us out with this bit. Okay, so they do their research, they discover there's this place in South Carolina that's got a tiger and he's a trainer and he's good with tiger. Okay, bring him on board. The amount of vetting that you wouldn't do because you're just like, I just need a tiger and a guy that can do it. And then years later, you're like, oh, no, he might have an illegal sex cult. Holy cow. We put him together with Britney. Oh, man. Like, you can't do the kind of vetting, that in-depth vetting on every single person. You just need a tiger for the bit.
You pretty much say, okay, this is what it, I mean, his background. I mean, if you and I didn't know Tiger King, you know, if the documentary never came out and you and I were in the business of trying to find a tiger.
Yeah.
We would probably search all these guys and say, well, look, these guys have tigers. I mean, you know, they seem to be safe. Wasn't he doing the talk show circuit as well?
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, let's say there was an opportunity like, hey, look, it's a fun interview segment. We're going to get off sports for a second. We're going to talk to this guy who's raising tigers and lions and animals in South Carolina. He's conservation. He's raising money for this cause. And he came on. I guarantee you the entire interview would be cordial. We'd have a good time with him. We'd treat him with respect. We'd probably promote his stuff. And then years later, we'd be like, yeah, that didn't age well. Yeah. Holy cow. Like that.
Didn't know he was part of a sex cult.
This is why it's a little disappointing for Shaq here in a little bit, where he was like, I'm distancing myself. Just say, look, at the time, I went to a zoo in Oklahoma that was pretty cool.
Hey, I'm certain.
I had no idea what was going on. It was a zoo.
Yeah, I'm certain Shaq wasn't there while he was nefariously scheming to kill Carole Baskin.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, that part of the story came out later, or, you know, could have been going on before then, but I'm certain Joe Exotic always put on a good face for the public.
Yeah.
Because he wants the funding.
Exactly.
One thing we got to remember, that none of these people are stupid.
No,
they've
no.
been able to live their life of, you know, of raising tiger cubs and or creating these zoos under false pretenses and getting away with whatever they're doing.
Exactly.
So these are smart, intelligent people. That's one thing we need to remember. Doc Antleal is a smart, intelligent person. He has a commune on his compound.
Yeah, he's got like a harem.
Yes.
Right? I mean, and nobody is doing anything about it.
And he's buying houses for him left and right, but it's on his property, so you probably can't touch him.
Yep.
Because exactly. It's on his property. He's like, well, why can't I build a house? You don't know what's going on. I build a house for this employee.
So Shaq said on his podcast, he said, I don't harm tigers. Well, first of all, I don't think nobody's accusing you of harming a tiger.
Yeah, now why? We might.
Well, yeah. He goes, I love tigers. I love white tigers. Do I put donations to these zoos to help these tigers out? I do it all the time. Do I own tigers personally at my house? No, but I love tigers. First of all, if you're Shaquille O'Neal and you see a guy like Joe Exotic owning 100 tigers, whatever he owned,
yeah,
wouldn't you go, I have 1,000 times the means than this guy?
Well,
I love tigers. I could probably put a couple of these in my backyard.
And you know that, you know, Mike Tyson owned a tiger.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Jackson had a tiger zoo at his house.
Exactly.
So why not? If you have a limited wealth and if you have the property to do so, why aren't you going out and trying to find a monkey?
That's why. You know? If you're Shaquille O'Neal, why wouldn't you own a tiger? You went to LSU. You love the animal.
The TV show Friends. They highlighted the fact that, you know, one of the characters had a monkey.
Yeah, right.
You know, that was his pet. He walked around all over the place and had issues with the monkey. Sometimes they were in a lover's quarrel.
And then we find out in the documentary you can get a tiger, a baby tiger, for $2,000. $2,000!
God.
Let me tell you something. If you had $2,000 in disposable income, it's like Peloton or a tiger.
Yeah.
Like, you literally could go, yeah, exercise bike or an actual baby tiger that's going to grow into a beast that everyone's going to come over to my house and see.
Yeah, and probably with the stipulation that I could take him back anytime. Or I could donate them to the zoo.
Yeah.
You know, because Let's be real. When that creature, that tiger reaches like 500, 600 pounds, I don't have enough disposable income to feed this beast.
That's very, very true.
More than likely, it's your only pet.
Yeah, that's right.
Because any other pet you bring in mysteriously disappears each week.
See, but the other thing Shaq could have done is that he could have at least bought a tiger and said, well, I'm not going to keep it in my house, but that's my tiger and I'll pay you to take care of it.
Of course.
So I want to come see my tiger. I want to raise my tiger, but you got to take care of it.
I think a horse,
like when you buy a horse.
I'm not sure. I think I might still own a sea turtle.
You probably do. You probably do. Good, the bad, the dumb, coming up April Fool's Day here on SB Nation AM. It is Wake Up Call, Tony D and Ron Culver.
AM SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right. It is the good, the bad, and the dumb here on Wake Up Call. Before we do this, I did want to give props to Michael on Twitter. He found another Sports Illustrated article that was done in 1993. As Cheers was ending, the magazine did a whole article on the career of Sam Malone. It was awesome. It was really well done. Good find, Michael, on Twitter. That was great. They used pictures of Ted Danson in a Red Sox uniform, talked about his career. Really good stuff by Sports Illustrated.
I remember that one, too.
To celebrate. Remember that? Yeah. That's a really good find. I forgot about it, but now I do remember that article. That was really one of their classics. All right, let's get to the good of the day today.
You know what? I have something for you to binge watch.
All right,
please. If you're looking for something nostalgia, we moved on from Tiger King. We're needing something more to binge watch.
Yep.
Hasbro. Released 15 full episodes of G.I. Joe to YouTube.
The cartoon?
The cartoon.
Oh, awesome. Is that the one where, like, hey, kids, don't do drugs
exactly.
at the end of like, each one of those?
Yeah.
G.I. Joe. Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. What was the tagline in that? The more you know or something like that?
The more you know. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But
and knowing is half the battle.
And knowing is half the battle. Is that the one where the Cobra had the high-pitched voice?
Yes.
And it was like, get G.I. Joe! That one?
So, yeah. So, I mean, for me, that's my childhood.
That's
pretty
cool.
I grew up watching those. I couldn't wait to get home from school to watch those cartoons. So, me, it's like, I know what I'm doing this weekend with my boys.
That's
awesome. Saturday morning cartoons. I'll let the wife sleep in. It's like, guys, we got some watching to do.
You know, I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, you know what somebody needs to do for the little kids, like, because it's scary and it's kind of a scary time. Is anybody putting out all of, like, the Mr. Rogers episodes or at least, like, 50 of them that people...
Yeah, they should. Yeah.
He was such a calm voice in a lot of things. I mean, look, it was always different things every generation was going through at the time. But for little kids to have someone like that they can watch and sort of... I'm surprised nobody's gone. They're going to throw a bunch of Mr. Rogers on.
You took that to the opposite, man. I'm going like, all right, let's go on full battle mode.
I want Saturday morning. Like, to me, if you can bring me back, like Boomerang did this, where you got, like, if I can get Laugh Olympics again, like the Hanna-Barbera Laugh Olympics, I would watch it every day.
I know. I kind of miss that. You wake up Saturday morning, there are no cartoons.
There are no cartoons. Like, I used to sit around till like noon doing nothing, watch
endless
parades.
Either noon or until your mom said, okay, you got to get out of the house.
You know how big Saturday morning cartoons were? Saturday morning cartoons were so big, they actually had a primetime show to tell you what the Saturday morning lineup was going to be.
Yeah.
So you used to watch it and they go like, and coming up this fall Saturdays, we've got Pac-Man Arcade Hour. And it'd be like a Pac-Man cartoon. You'd be like, ah, it was that big of a deal. And now it's gone. It's absolutely gone. And it's too bad, too. I used to love it. I used to love it, Saturday mornings. But that is a great find. You know, Disney Plus has Spider-Man and his amazing friends with
the original Firestar.
Firestar and the Iceman? Is that who it was?
I think you're right, yeah.
His buddies, like they would fight the Green Goblin and stuff.
Tony?
Yeah, his friends. They had that weird apartment where he pushed a button and all of a sudden everything switched to computers. And...
Well, I mean, all the houses did that, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
Who's the construction company that had to keep quiet on all that stuff?
Well, you had to off them.
Yeah, you had
let's
to make
be,
sure that they
real.
Were done. Yes. Job's done. We put all this crime-fighting stuff. I don't know why you would need that, but it's all set and ready to go. Can we settle up here? Yeah, if you guys wouldn't mind stepping into this room right over here. we'll settle all that up with you guys.
Or maybe they had the Men in Black mind eraser.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
So yeah, I don't... You know why we got this check? This large check? No.
Exactly.
Well, it's in our account.
It's in our account. But that's a great find. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited. You know, I'm going to pull them aside and say, hey, listen, boys, I think it'll be exciting for them. I don't know.
I do too.
You know, yeah, I mean, they're really big into Star Wars Rebels. So I'm like, all right, this is my youth. I'm gonna
Star Wars Rebels is great.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's great.
In the Clone Wars, you know, they're a lot of fun. And I'm like, you know, for me, it's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to try to bring you from this. I said, I'll try to pitch it to him like, hey, it's like Fortnite.
Yeah. very good. Very
I don't know
good.
If that'll work, but hey, we'll give it a shot and see.
You're creating great memories. Some of my best memories with my son was getting him
to watch some old cartoons that he enjoyed and he ended up really liking, you know, when he was a certain age. It's great. It's
in
really
fact,
good stuff.
You know, one of the things, speaking of cartoons, we're going to miss out on because they usually show it during the Olympics. Do you remember that cartoon Animal Olympics?
Yeah, I remember totally that. Yeah.
Usually they show it around this time.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that you can't find. Like, I don't know if they ever put it on DVD. You can find it on VHS if you go to eBay.
Yeah.
But who has a VCR?
No. That's true. That's true.
So, I mean, I need that released in high def. Even if you want to remake it,
yeah,
just use
right.
the same voices, just, you know, put it into today's, I don't know, maybe don't even remake it.
That is a very good good. All right, so now what's the bad?
The bad of the day, Joe Buck.
Okay, I saw this. If you've got the right bad, I really enjoy this story.
Yeah, Joe Buck, you know, out of the good graces of his heart and probably pure boredom.
Sure.
Is, you know, has offered to narrate your life, you know, to do some play-by-play of your life. And it's been fantastic. We've aired some.
Yeah, we have.
You know, and I mean, he's taken a step further. I mean, he was talking, you know, he did one I was watching where a guy was just grilling and flipping burgers or flipping steaks or something. He's narrating, and it sounds great. It's perfect. But one thing he won't do, and he's asking people to stop sending him your sex tapes.
Unbelievable. It was a matter of time, wasn't it?
Of course it was.
It was just a
people
matter of
no
time.
People have no shame.
They can't help themselves. People can't help themselves. You know, right?
This is his actual statement on it. I've had a couple of submissions from, let's say, a man and a woman that just didn't seem appropriate to put my voice to in this stage of my life. Maybe later in life, but not now.
That's a great line. That's a great line. Because he's anticipating a time where he's really old and that kind of stuff might be needed in his life just to remind him of youth and vigor.
Yeah. Or, you know what? Let's be real. That could become the next sport.
True.
You know, the only sport worth having is this one right here.
I know. Oh, my God. 9 months from now, we're going to have a ton of kids.
Yeah, we are.
It's just going to be a population boom.
But, like, when I saw this on Twitter, one of the threads that started following after that was, would you want him to narrate it when you can have Gus Johnson?
Well, that's the key, right? Like, if you're going to send a sex tape to a broadcaster, you got to go Gus Johnson.
You know, or...
He brings a little bit more pizzazz to the event than Joe Buck does.
Or the name has escaped me. Harlan, I can't remember his name.
Kevin Harlan.
Thank
he does
you.
A great job too.
Yes.
He would do a great job too. He's very exciting.
I think our good friend Eitan, he might have mentioned Marv Albert.
Marv Albert?
Gotta go, yes.
Decent. Yeah, that would be decent.
But I don't know if you want to have the yes over and over again.
See, what you don't want is to send your sex tape to Joe Buck and have it come back where Buck goes, and that is a disgusting act, and I can't believe we have that on our air. Like, oh, that's...
No, you, know, you want that.
I guess you would want that so badly. I guess if you had Joe Buck commenting on your sex act with that line... I guess that's a badge of honor that you would take pride in, right?
You have to.
Yeah. Buck, it's awesome. I'm curious. How many people sent Buck sex tapes during this thing?
Yeah, I think all of them.
Do you think 100? 1,000?
Easily.
How many people went, yeah, honey, I'm sending this to Joe Buck? She's like, no, you're not. Yes, I am. You waiting? You're gonna like what's coming back. I can imagine. Imagine Joe Buck opening up all of these videos going, oh, God, again? Oh, my God. Oh, okay. Can I find some kid hitting a wiffle ball? Has anybody got that? Oh, look at that. Look at those two. Oh, God. All right. Is anybody doing anything like reading a book? Anything at all?
That's
please.
A real page turner.
Oh, God. I need something. Oh, my goodness.
Yep. No, it's more... But, you know, I mean, you think about this, too. He might have a side gig coming up.
He could.
You know, where he could just start releasing these videos anonymously on some site and making some money. Because, let's face it, I mean, he's not getting paid right now, right?
Oh, my God. Joe Buck porn is not going to be a thing, is it?
It might be. It might be, Tony. We might have to get ready for that. That's the new reality we face in these troubling times.
That's when you stand up and you go, I've called 5 Super Bowls, people. I've done every World Series since 2002. I mean, what's wrong with you people? Like, whatever it is, whatever his record is for that stuff. Yeah.
It was his first World Series. I was 29 when I called my first World Series.
I was barely out of college when I called my first World Series. And now I've got Jim and Michelle on this video. I can't. No, my career is not going down this way. That's awful.
Yep.
That's awful. All right, what's
put
the
that on the resume.
Yeah, I know.
I just sent you a photo.
Yes.
There's a post that went viral, and I'm hoping a lot of people saw this.
Yes.
Regarding a McDonald's meal, if you will, or a buffet.
Is McDonald's sponsoring this, or is this coming from a random?
Some guy, I'm not sure who this is. He's an influencer of some sort because he has a lot of followers. His name is Trevor Donovan, and he posted, somebody offers you $3,500 to finish everything on this tray in 90 minutes. Could/would you do it?
Okay, so I'm counting what looks like four
double cheeseburgers.
Four double cheeseburgers or double quarter pounders, maybe. Those look
rather
large. Then it looks like a package of 20 nuggets total?
Yeah, 20 nuggets.
Or is each one of those 20? It looks like 10.
Yeah.
Two large fries and four sodas.
Right.
$3,500 to consume all of that in 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
I'm a big guy and I can eat. I don't think I could.
Oh, come on now. 90 minutes? An hour and a half? You can polish that off.
I don't know. Listen, I got to be honest with you. I took a road trip one time and I was going a long way. My hotel reservation was hours away and it was already night. So I knew I had to keep going. And I pulled in to McDonald's and I got 20 McNuggets with a drink and something. And I ate the McNuggets. And I swear I ate 20 McNuggets on this trip. I thought I was going to go blind. All right. I mean, it was.
Yeah, but it's probably because you finished them off in 10 minutes.
Yeah, maybe so. 90 minutes is a long time, though. This
90 minutes?
I might be able to swing this by.
That gives you time to sit back, relax, you know.
First of all, the fries are gone instantly. I love their fries.
Yeah.
I'm a big, big fan of their French fries. I have cravings for their French fries, which is not a good thing. But I love them. So the fries would be gone. The nuggets are good. The burgers, I think, would get. The dough would get to the bread would get to you in a bit.
But yeah, maybe I don't know.
That's very filling.
I think 90 minutes. I think I could do it because there's a lot of times when you have McDonald's and you have that sometimes you get hungry a little bit afterwards.
That's true. But the sodas, that's where it's going to really fill you up.
But
I broke that down analytically, didn't
you
I?
You did.
I did.
That might have been dumber than the picture.
In all seriousness, I could polish that off.
For $3,500?
For $3,500.
I mean, you know, there are probably harder things to do for $3,500 or worse things to do for $3,500. This one doesn't seem that bad.
No.
For $3,500, I would say, yeah, throw it my way. I'm going to give it a shot.
I mean, you'd survive it. You might get a little sick, but it's not going to kill you.
Might channel your inner Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, they're not asking you to gargle bleach here. I mean, they're asking you to eat fast food.
Hey, could you polish this off in 30 minutes? It's an hour and a half.
You
know, a movie.
Why wouldn't I just try this in general? I got nothing to do. I mean, when I'm in quarantine, call DoorDash up, get some of this delivered and
That's
see if true. I can do it.
That, I mean, what, you know what?
Is anybody doing that? I mean, because I would think somebody's like, you know what, dude? I just ordered this from DoorDash. I will film myself consuming this.
You might be bringing something up right now that could be a viral video, a YouTube moneymaker, if you will. You could become an influencer.
I would be like, hey, you know what? Challenge accepted. You don't have to give me the money. I'm just going to show you I could do it.
Yeah. Follow me.
Yeah, exactly.
Just hit that like button up there in the corner.
I like your optimism. You got some optimism. You actually.
Oh, dude, I can do that in 90 minutes. Come
on. I think so too.
90 minutes.
The more I'm looking at it, man, yeah, I could do it. I could do it in 90 minutes easy.
Yeah, and the fries would have to go first, though. Because sometimes McDonald's fries, when they get too cold.
No, that's bad.
Not as good. I mean, the burgers you can have cold.
That's right.
Nuggets I can have cold. I would also need dipping sauce for the nuggets. Sorry.
Yeah, that's true. Eating them plain is kind of bad.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I was going blind. I was like, felt like I was going blind. I didn't have any ranch or barbecue sauce to counteract the amount of chicken nuggets I was consuming.
Their barbecue sauce is good. That little plastic. I don't know what that is.
Good stuff. All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver Here's Tony D.
Rocket Mortgage, Al Will is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You know that bit we did with the McDonald's eating challenge that influencer pointed out?
Yeah.
Have you ever done an eating challenge before, like the Amarillo steak thing or anything? Have you ever done anything like that?
No, not yet. I'd need to. I want to try one.
I did a wing eating thing once. That was really it. But I've always wanted, like, that the Amarillo steak where you get the big, the 20, what is it? 50-ounce steak? 72-ounce steak. God, 50. That's still 22 ounces less than what I thought was a big
now,
steak.
At home, I mean, I never did it in a restaurant, but at home, I did try, like one of the hottest sauces on the face of the planet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember you telling me about that. Yeah.
That literally melted my face, and sadly enough, I would do it again.
Very good.
I mean, you have to. I mean, but I want to do it with, like, different people.
Yeah, I've never done one of those eat it in 10 minutes or less
type
of things. I've never done that. It's funny, you know what's
personally I have. But.
Oh, we had George Shea on years ago when I was in Colorado. We had the guy who runs the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, and we were doing a wing eating contest, and we had him on the show. And we were asking him for, like, my co-host asked him for some advice because he was participating in it. And George Say was like, oh, no, I don't do that because this is no joke. He goes, I don't recommend anybody doing those without, like, medical personnel on staff and an ambulance nearby and things like that. And you realize, holy cow, he's right. Like, you better be careful on those things. I mean, they're not, you can really, no joke.